All right, Acts chapter number 4 again tonight. I had a different message I was going to preach to you tonight. But when I got through with the message this morning, I thought, you know, I really want to give you the rest of the message from this morning. And so Acts chapter 4 again, this is a starting off place. And I gave you 2 points about the life of Barnabas and him being an encourager and kind of the exhortation this morning was we need to have the same type of spirit as Barnabas and be an encourager, and we can create a spirit within our church of an encouraging place, a refreshing place. So Acts chapter 4 and verse number 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, and it gives you the interpretation of his name, which being interpreted is the son of consolation. And consolation, what it means is a person that has a refreshing spirit. That they console people, they encourage them, they refresh them. And if you've ever been around people like that, you want to spend more time around people like that. Is there a blessing to be around? It'd be great to be a church filled with people that when newcomers come in, they say, yeah, I felt refreshed when I came to that church. I actually felt better leaving that place than I did when I came in that place. You say, what was it? Was it the cushion chairs, the air conditioner, the nice bathroom, the scented candles? No, it was the nice people that refreshed me and they consoled me and they helped me. So living up kind of that name of Barnabas. And I gave you the first point this morning that what you see in this place in Acts 4 is he sold his belongings and gave it to somebody that was in need. And we talked a little bit about that, about giving to others and sacrificially, you can call it like this, maybe sacrificially giving. He sacrificially gave to somebody that had a need. And we talked about the blessing of that. And we talked about the second thing in Acts chapter number 9. We talked about the fact that there was Paul. You know him as Paul, but at the beginning when he got saved, it was Saul. And that Saul had been persecuting the church, and then he got saved, and now he's preaching. And when he wanted to come and join himself with the Christians that are at Jerusalem, they didn't really want to let him in, and you wouldn't have either if you had been the same people, because you would have looked at it and said, I remember, I've heard the story of this guy. He kills Christians. I don't think I really want him part of the group. But we read in Acts chapter number 9 that Barnabas spoke on his behalf, and he declared some things about him. And I talked to you this morning about how you being an encourager of other people, the words you use can either drag people down or lift people up. And that you can be an encourager in the words you speak, not only to somebody, but about somebody. I had an illustration I was going to give to you this morning, and I forgot to give it to you, and I was going to give it to you tonight, is this. I told you this story before, but it's the greatest example of this in my personal life that I could give, so I wanted to give it to you. When I was pastoring the church just for a little while down in Houston, it was just a very short period of time, there was maybe 6 or 7, 8 people at the most in that church. It was in probably one of the worst areas of Houston. People would throw beer bottles in the front. We'd clean beer bottles up. One of the members actually had their car stolen as they were trying to get in their car. Someone stole it and drove off with it while they were trying to get in it out of the church. They ended up putting a gate around it. There was another time ATF was sitting in the parking lot, and they asked them, what are you doing here? They said, well, see this house right over there? There's a drug deal going down over there, and somebody has killed somebody over there. We're waiting, going to do a big bust. We're going to set up in your parking lot. And so it was a rough area. They had spray-painted profanity across the front of the church on the sidewalk. It was a rough spot. Nobody really spoke a lot of English there. It was just bad. I knocked on every door in the whole area. We couldn't get anybody to come visit. Even people that lived outside the area, they thought, I'm not driving into that area. Across the street, they had spray-painted 6-foot-tall letters across the, I think it was the Gangster Disciples was the gang. They had spray-painted across the front of all the houses across the street from us in 6-foot-tall letters marking those houses that people lived in. And, I mean, just really, really, really rough. So nobody would come there except for the people that had been there all their lives, got saved in that church. And so there was about 8 of them. There's probably about 4 families. They were all in their 70s, that age bracket. And one of the couples that was there, the lady, these are sweet people. They just had a different view of things. And her dad was the original pastor of the church. And then when their dad got older and retired, her son became the next pastor of the church. And so it was only her dad and her son, the only ones that ever pastored that she was part of. And they left, and everybody left, really, except for a handful of them. And here came me. I came along. And so it really wasn't, when they saw me in the pulpit, she didn't see dad and she didn't see son. she saw this other guy, and she just never could like me. I don't know. I'm a likable person. She never could like me. And so she would play the organ, and I would sit off to the side, and I'd sing loud, and I'd get my throat would get dry before I'd preach, so I'd drink a little bit of bottled water before I'd get up there to do that. You may see me do that now. That made her really upset. She got mad about that. And then, not to waste any time, when she was ending the song, I got up and I'd come to the pulpit and get ready and stand back until the song was over. It was over. I'd come forward. That made her, she got really upset about that. That's not the way anybody else had done it before. They waited until she was finished with her song and then they'd get up and come. And so there was things like that. And plus I'd preach, and the things that I'm preaching, I'm just preaching exactly what the Bible says and trying to be a blessing to you and to them the same way that I am to you. I was doing with them. And her husband would sit in the back. It was the funniest thing you ever saw if you were in the pulpit. And it was really pitiful for me, but it was funny. He'd sit in the back, and I'd preach something. Kind of like what I was preaching now, but I'd be preaching something, and he wouldn't like it. I don't know why he wouldn't like it, but he wouldn't like it. And he would go, ugh. Now, listen, if there's this many people in there, if you did that in the back, I might not notice. But when there's only 6 to 8 of you in the whole building, and it seats 300 and something, you're going to notice, you know. And so it was the most discouraging thing you ever saw in your life. I'm trying to preach the Bible. Well, one day that they had just had enough of me. I don't know why. Again, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't trying to cause any problems, but they'd had enough of me. They got me into a Sunday school classroom and invited me to go in there. And I thought, this might not be good. I don't know what's going to happen. And they got me in there, and they got Stacy. It was me and Stacy, and I'm just standing there. You know, I kind of felt like I needed to be at attention, but I was standing there. And boy, he didn't open it. He didn't say a word, but she just laid into me, telling me she didn't like me about this, didn't like what I did with this, and didn't like the message I preached on this, and didn't like, just one side down the other, just let me have it with both barrels. And she had a cup of ice and a Coke in her hand, and she just was railing on me, letting me have it. I wouldn't really say anything. I was pretty beat up about some things already in life, and so I wasn't looking for any fights. I was just taking it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And, well, you know, and I'd start to say something, and she'd just let me have another one. And I didn't know what to do. And it kind of reminds me of this story, because what happened was I never had to fight that fight. Let me tell you what happened. There was a wall that was off to the back. I had not been there very long. I didn't even know that wall was there like that. But it wasn't even really a wall. It was something they added there to separate two rooms. And the rest of the church, the other four or five of them, they were in this other side, and they were doing some dishes because we would eat together sometimes. And they were in there in the deacon. There was everybody that was left there was deacons and their wives, really. So it was this deacon. And he heard what was going on. And he came to the door and opened the door and walked in where I was standing, and me and Stacy. And Stacy's just holding my hand, and I was holding hers. We weren't saying anything. She was ready to cry. It was just really a bad situation. And here she was, she was reading me the riot act. And that guy walked in. I never even had to open my mouth. And he spoke, just like what we're talking about here, on my behalf. This is an encourager. I'm going to tell you, I felt great encouragement in that moment. I felt great discouragement the whole time I was leading up to this. But when this guy said something on my behalf, I felt great encouragement. And what he did was he walked in, he said to her very nicely. She said, as soon as he walked in, he said, I got something to say. And she said, no, you can leave. And he said, no, I have something to say. He said, this is our pastor. He says, and you really should not be talking to him like this. And he stood up for me. Wasn't rude. He just stood up for me and tried to calm the situation down. Well, because he said that, and she realized he was right, she had that cup of ice. She threw it in the trash can, stormed out, and they never came back. But you know what? I never had to fight that fight. Somebody on my behalf, not mean, not trying to fight somebody, but on my behalf, just stood up and said, "This shouldn't be happening. You're saying some bad things about somebody that hadn't done anything bad." Hadn't done anything wrong. Why are you saying bad things about him? Let me tell you something. When it comes to being an encourager, there's going to be times that people stand up and are in positions like, okay, for instance, Miss Olson's doing a absolutely phenomenal job with our ladies. Phenomenal. I mean, unbelievable job with our ladies. And there could be a time that some lady may feel slighted over something, like I didn't get chosen to do this or whatever. And I know her spirit is she would never hurt anybody. Wouldn't hurt a fly, really. And somebody might get a feeling like something was bad. Let me tell you what might happen. Somebody might come to you and say, hey, Miss Olson did this or didn't do that or whatever. And they can try, they can ventilate how mad they are. You know what you can do? This is your opportunity right there. You can either throw gas on the fire and cause it to blow up. Or you can say something like this. You know what? Miss Olson is probably the sweetest lady I've ever met. If that is the case, what you're telling me, it probably didn't happen on purpose. And you know what? We ought to go to her and talk to her about it, because she probably don't even know that you felt slighted about this thing. You know, you have the opportunity to speak. This is what we're talking about, being an encourager, to speak on the behalf of somebody else, to cause a problem to go away instead of building up a problem to make it even bigger. You see what I'm saying? That's speaking. That's being an encourager. And let me tell you something. Every church needs a million of those people in the church. Because let me tell you something. Offenses, this is what Jesus told his disciples. It's impossible, but that offenses must come. There's going to be problems. And you get a group this big, a group full of people, you're going to have people problems. And so we need people to speak on behalf of others. So that's one of the things I thought I wanted to say. But look at the Acts chapter number 11. I'm going to give you a couple other points. So we got that he sold and gave. We got that he sought out. he sought out Paul and spoke on his behalf. Saul, who later was called Paul, and spoke on his behalf. But then look at Acts chapter 11. These are all attributes that you need to give. I mean, you need to get. This whole thing about sacrificially giving to others and being a blessing, speaking on their behalf, speaking to them and on their behalf. And then this last one, the second to last one here, look at Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. That's important because they're only preaching the Jews up to this point. But it's the Gentiles are getting in on this. But they're only the Jews at this point. Verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now Gentiles are getting in on this stuff. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. What a blessing. Great numbers of these people got saved. It's a really good thing. In verse number 22, then tidings of these things came to the ears and the ears of the church that was at Jerusalem. So now imagine Antioch is got Gentiles are being saved, but they had not been preaching to anybody but Jews up to this point. And now Gentiles are getting in on it. And the word of that comes back to the church at Jerusalem. And now they're going to get some guys together and send them from Jerusalem up to Antioch to take over that ministry. What a joy. You get tapped to be in charge of a ministry that probably nobody else really wanted. We're going to take volunteers tonight. And we're going to see how many of you ladies would like to just take over full-time ministry of working in the nursery for indefinitely. How many of you would raise your hand? Nobody wants to raise their hand for that one. It's a job that nobody really is really excited about getting, but he's going to get tapped to do this. Now look, so tidings come to the church at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, something happening in them. Watch this now. He was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And watch this now. Watch. You're looking at getting this attribute for yourself. And he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. What a blessing. You know what? I want people in our church. I want to be this person, and I want to help this type of spirit in our church where people will sacrificially give to others to be an encouragement, where people will seek out those that maybe don't fit in and speak on their behalf or speak on behalf of somebody else or speak to somebody else to help them. I want that kind of spirit, but I also want the kind of spirit of somebody that will just serve others and strengthen others. I want to have that, and I want our church to have that kind of spirit. They will just serve others and strengthen others. Now, when he got tapped to be this guy to take over this ministry, he went, and it's what it said. When he saw the grace of God working, what was he? He was very disappointed, right? He was skeptical, right? He came into a ministry and said, well, we'll just give them some time, and let's just see how well they really do. He wasn't skeptical. He wasn't upset about it. In fact, he was glad to get a chance to serve the Lord in some way, shape, or form. Let me tell you, that's the kind of spirit you need in anything God gives you to do. I can remember when I first started off and trying to be involved in ministry and do stuff. All I knew was God wanted me to serve. I didn't know all the details. And Pastor Robinson said, "Why don't you work with the youth?" I said, "Okay, I don't know that I'll be any good at it, but I'll try working with the youth." And I jumped into that and took on that as a responsibility. When I got to Georgia, I got there and I did not know really what I was going to do there. I just jumped in, tried to fit in as well as I could anywhere. And the pastor would ask me, said, "Why don't you work with the young adults?" I said, "I didn't know anything about working with the young adults, but listen, if you need me to work with the young adults, I'll work with the young adults and I'll serve with gladness. I'll be excited about doing it." And so we worked with the young adults for a little while. And then a little bit later, the youth pastor quit. And so they said, "Now, why don't you take over the youth pastor? Hey, I have no problem. Whatever you want me to do, I'll be glad to serve with gladness and do it." And then he said, "Why don't you take over the Christian school?" And I said, "No." I said, I don't know that I could take over being the principal of the school. And so they took me to a leadership conference and they asked me, "Would you please consider it? You're getting out of the Army soon. You can take over that job and you'll be great at it." And I said, "No, I don't think I'll be any good at it at all." And they said, no, pray about it. So I did while I was at the conference, and I said, "I'll pray about it." I came back and I said, "Yeah, I'll take it." And so I became full-time staff there and took over being the principal of the school. And that's where baldness first started happening in my life. It was right there taking over the principal of the school. So I took over that. And he came to me one day and he said, "You know what? I don't know how to shine my shoes. Can you shine my shoes?" You say, "Did you really do it?" Yes, I did. Anything. Listen, I was just glad to be able to serve. I was just glad to get a chance to do anything for the preacher, for the people, for the church, whatever. I was glad to get a chance to do it. I was just happy to be able to do something for the Lord. And I think that's what his spirit was. I don't think he was about accolades. I don't think he was about, "Hey, is anybody going to recognize me? I'll go to that church, but really, I don't know. Has that really got any longevity for me? Am I going to be able to, from there, be able to go to bigger and better things?" No, I think he just wanted to serve the Lord, and he was glad to be serving people that wanted to know something about God. I think that's the kind of spirit we need to have. Let me tell you something. Each one of you in this room, you ought to be glad to be able to do anything for the cause of Christ. You ought to be glad that God thought enough of you to, number one, save you, but number two, put you in a place and allow you the opportunity to serve Him. I know what I am. I know I am absolutely nothing. I'm below nothing. I'm what's on the bottom of the shoes of nothing. But God gives us the opportunity to serve Him. What a blessing that is. And folks, when we approach getting the opportunity to serve, we ought to approach getting to serve Him with gladness. I love watching these little kids get up here and sing. They sang today in practice, and the children's choir and youth choir all together. And I was watching them sing, and boy, they would do this little light of mine. They were just excited about singing praises to God. And let me tell you something, we need to all get that kind of spirit in our hearts once again. There was a day when you first got saved that you were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You were excited about everything there is to know about God, and I wanted to learn more, and you were taking notes, and you were coming to the altar and weeping and crying. Hey, where is that zeal at that used to be there? You ought to want to serve the Lord with gladness. And I think that was something about him, is he was glad to serve. Let me tell you, it's encouraging, especially as a pastor, to watch people get in this church and then just roll up their sleeves and say, "Where can I fit in and start working? I don't need a big position. I don't care if it's going and picking up the trash. Just let me do something. Just let me greet people at the door." I wrote this down, and I'd never try to embarrass anybody. I really wouldn't. But I'm going to say this. Miss Sunny, sitting over there, Miss Sunny, she's a blessing. Ever since she got here to this church, I've just quietly watched that she has been a real encouragement to her preacher, a real encouragement. She's been an encouragement to everybody else, been encouraging me, because she just got in and said, "You need somebody to work in the nursery?" I worked the nursery. That was a blessing. Just said, I'll go work it. She doesn't have any kids in the nursery. But she just said, "I'll go work the nursery. I have no problem with that." And when we did grow the other day, she showed up on the first, and I asked her, I said, "What are you wanting to do?" Brother Aaron was getting it all together, and I said, "What are you here to do?" She said, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." Smiling from ear to ear. You know what she was doing? Serving the Lord with what? Gladness. "I'll do whatever you want me to do." And then when we go out on church, you think that we set this up. We didn't. When we go out on church outreach, and we get in the bus, and we go out, and we talk to people, and we came back, The first time we came back, she said, "Oh, when you get through, everybody come into the fellowship hall because I made snacks for everybody." And I thought, "You made snacks for everybody? This lady's awesome. I'm making her a deacon before the end of the week's over. This lady is great." I mean, I was thinking, this is amazing what she, I mean, and nobody asked any of those things. Nobody asked any of those things. She just said, "I'm going to find a place, roll up my sleeves, and jump in." And has been a complete, that's what serving the Lord with gladness is like. That's what it looks like. And that's an encourager. That's an encourager. They give to other people. They speak on behalf of other people and speak to people kind things, but they just serve the Lord with gladness. But I like also that he was exhorting other people. He was exhorting. Watch what it says there in those verses. In verse 23, he exhorted them all that with purpose, with heart, purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. When you get around people, when you're talking to people, do they leave feeling like, man, that person exhorted me to serve the Lord better, to cleave to the Lord? You say, why was he like that? Well, I believe that when it said in the next few verses, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. So what does that mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? Well, it just means this, that he had coming out of his life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It was just coming out of his life everywhere he went. Folks, let me tell you something. We should all in this church, every one of us, should want to have the testimony that people say, when I got around Brother James, he was a good man and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you can tell when you're around people that have a walk with God. I saw Brother Aaron the other day. We went out to eat, get some coffee in the morning. And he said, I know he wasn't talking about me, but he was talking about being around people. And he said, you know what? He said, it's a blessing when you get around people that have a walk with God. It really is. It's a blessing to get around people that when you get around them, you're not worried about what you're going to talk about because you're going to talk about uplifting, exhorting things. Folks, let me tell you what it'd be an encouragement is to be that type of person for other people. That they say, you know, when I get around Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, I just feel encouraged. I feel uplifted. I feel better for having running into them a day. And so that's the kind of spirit of being someone that's an encourager. We should be that type of person. But then look at verse number 25. I want you to see one other thing about him that stood out to me. This is what I want to be and I want you to be. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know what I also found about him? He was the type of person that would go get other people and bring them along on the journey with him. I like that. I like that type of spirit. Let me tell you what's great about him. Here in this spot, in Acts chapter number 12, 13, what you're going to see is the Holy Spirit calls out Barnabas and Saul to go out and be missionaries, right? And it starts off, watch out, it starts off, this is the way you always see it, Barnabas and Saul, and later Barnabas and Saul, and Barnabas and Saul. His name later becomes Paul, Barnabas and Paul. But you know what? By Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 13, it changes and it says this. Now when Paul and his company lose from Paphos. You say, what does that mean? It means that it stopped being Barnabas and Paul and it started being Paul and Barnabas. You know what I don't find? You know what I don't find written here anywhere? That Barnabas got upset because he wasn't the head guy anymore. He wasn't in the limelight. And that's what I think was interesting about what took place in this place in Acts chapter 11, is he went down and he said, you know what? I'm up here. They got me to take over this ministry that nobody really wanted. And people are being added. There's more happening. There's great things are taking place here. He had no problem with saying, let me go get Brother Aaron Bibb and I'm going to bring him up here and I'm going to have him be involved in this thing with me. And I don't care who gets the glory or who gets the honor as long as God is having something done on his behalf and God gets the glory and the honor. You say what that spirit is? That's a spirit of, that's an encourager. That's an encourager. It's not looking for the recognition. He's looking for God to get the glory in everything. And when you get that type of spirit, let me tell you something, great things can happen. In that place, listen, God chose Antioch, that place that Barnabas, that nobody probably would want, Barnabas got tapped to take over a ministry that nobody probably wanted. He served with gladness. He was a good man, filled with the Holy Ghost, looking to do good, getting somebody else involved in that ministry and bringing them along for the journey. It was that place that they were called Christians first out of any other place. Something took place there with that type of spirit, of that type of leadership, that that place became Christ-like more than any other place. Listen, they were called Christians first. Let me tell you something else. God could have chose Jerusalem to be the hub of New Testament missions to fulfill the Great Commission of going to all the world and preach the gospel. Could he not? He could have chose any place. You know, he chose Antioch. That place. You say, why? I think it was because of the great spirit and the great leadership they had in that place and what was set up in that time. I think it's incredible. So this type of thing, it strikes me about him. I think he was happy to serve the Lord. I think he was glad to see other people saved. I think he loved to get involved in the work. And I think he didn't care who was going to get the credit. Let me tell you, every one of us can be that type of person. We can all be that type of person. We're just going to have to purpose in our hearts to be encouragers. Let me take it to the last place. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. I want you to see this last one, because we all need this one as well. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work where I have called them to do." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And they take off and they begin to go. Look down at verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Now, this is John Mark. Look at chapter 12 and just go back up in verse number 24. Now, the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark. So they took John Mark with them in 13:5, they go and they take John Mark with them. But look at verse 13 of chapter 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, watch this now, John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. He left. Now, they ran into some weird things that took place when they got to this area, and they ran into some issues, and maybe that scared him off. It doesn't really give you any explanation of why young John Mark decided he was going out with them, but he ran back and went back home for some reason, and so this takes place. And so then you see they go on with their missionary journeys, and they complete that, Acts chapter number 15. And look with me at Acts chapter 15, and look at verse number 36. They've completed this first missionary journey, and when you get to Acts chapter 15, they've finished it. In verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." He said, "Let's go back and revisit all the places that we've gone and started the churches at. Let's go back and revisit." And in verse 37, watch this now. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. He said, "Let's take John Mark with us." Now watch. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them who had departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended to the brethren for the grace of God, and went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. This is very interesting. What takes place here is John Mark is with them at the beginning. John Mark goes back. He leaves them. And now at the end of this missionary journey, they decide they're going to go back. And this is the type of spirit that I think we all ought to have. There's a type of spirit in people that when someone does something wrong or someone fails, we just push them off to the side. And then there's a spirit in some people that when people do something that isn't quite right or they fail, they're looking for opportunities to raise them back up and restore them. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "If a brother be overtaken in a fault." And let me tell you something. You're going to find some brothers that will be overtaken in a fault. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, that's what it says. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. The one who's overtaken in a fault. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. He goes on to talk about, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The type of spirit that's talked about there is when you see somebody fail or you see somebody fall, not saying, well, you know what, I kind of knew that about them. I kind of figured they wouldn't make it. I kind of figured they would fall by the wayside, and I'll just write them off. In fact, not only write them off, I might even talk bad about them a little bit every once in a while. You don't want to be like brother so-and-so who's worthless and doing that. Listen, that some people have that type of spirit. But there's other people that have the type of spirit. And this is the type of spirit we want. The encourager spirit that's always looking for an opportunity, thinking about that brother or sister that's fallen by the wayside and always thinking about how can I get them restored? How can I get them back on their feet? They might be profitable for the future. How do I get them back in this thing of this Christian life? And we should all have that type of spirit. Every one of us. There's people, for embarrassment's sake, we wouldn't call their name, but there's people that are serving God today who many people gave up on a long time ago. And many people, there's people that I've been around in my life that I just would not give up on, that other people have counseled me that you should give up on them. I said, you know what? Let me tell you something about that I know about my God. Let me tell you something I know about my God and your God. That God said He'd never leave me and He'd never forsake me. Let me tell you something I know about my God. I have failed Him. I couldn't even count on my fingers and my toes all the times that I have failed Him. Let me tell you what I love about my God is He's always willing to receive me back. And He's kind of like that prodigal son story that one of the prodigals in the far country wasting himself and finding himself in that hog pen that he's standing on the front porch. And what was he doing? He was watching for him and ran and fell on his neck and restored him into all he was. Now, that's what my God is like for me. I'll tell you something. That's the kind of spirit we should have for each other. That's the kind of spirit. Let me tell you something. That's the kind of spirit that an encourager has. He's looking for an opportunity to see people reach their potential, not push them further off when they get off track. We need to have that kind of spirit. People are going to, you're going to see some people that are going to fail. People in this church, if you look to your left and right, there may be some of them that may fail you at some point. You know what our eyes should be? Our eyes should be towards this, and our hearts should be towards this. How do we get them back on their feet? There are people that, when I wasn't the pastor, I wasn't even here. There are people at other churches that I knew, they did not like us for some reason, for whatever reason they didn't like us, and they'd say bad things. But let me tell you something. When they got hurt, and when they got hurt in life and in ministry, you know where they came? They came here. Because this is a place that would build them back up and help them back up. And Pastor Robinson did that for a lot of people. Build them back up and help them back up. Let me tell you what that is. That's an encourager's spirit. And we need to have that type of spirit. Let me tell you something. In Paul's mind, and I'm not saying Paul is bad. You probably would have done the same thing. I may have done the same thing. Maybe Paul's like, I don't have time to wet nurse somebody that's not going to really make it the whole trip with us. I'm not going to spend any time with them. If you want to, you go do your own thing. I'll do my thing. I didn't see that they were hated each other for this, but they did split up and went into their own ways. And maybe he had that type of spirit. But let me tell you something. Barnabas' spirit was this. There's a lot of potential in this young man, and he can make it. I don't want to give up on him. I want to see him make it. And if you'll look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to see something. 2 Timothy chapter 4. As the man used to say, and now the rest of the story. There's younger people in here that don't have a clue what I just said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 11. Old Paul, he's reaching the end. You know what he says? Only Luke is with me. Watch this. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. There was a lot of potential in this kid that messed up. He messed up, but there was a lot of potential in his life. And let me tell you what we need to have. I'm telling you, you need to get this kind of spirit. People are going to fail you. People are going to mess up. And you have the type of spirit that you're going to help them get back on their feet. If you can't, you'll help them get back up. always with an eye of trying to figure out how you can help them, not how you can push them further down, but how you can lift them back up. You understand what I'm saying? This is easy. We need that kind of spirit. What's interesting about this whole thing, when you look at it, is this man did so much, and he's known very little about him. But he did so much. I was talking to somebody the other day. We were at that sportsman's banquet, and they said to me, they said, well, I'm not at the level of so-and-so, and I kind of feel, and they made this statement. I think they made this statement, if I'm not mistaken. This is the way the Spirit was kind of interpreting it for me when they were saying. They said, you know, I feel a lot like a Barnabas, that I'm just kind of a quiet person in the background propping people up and helping people. And I said, you know what? We need a church filled with Barnabases. I began to think about that then, and I thought, we need a church full of people like that. I thank God for the people in my life that aren't standing here doing what we're doing, but they were instrumental in my life. Maybe a quiet encourager that helped me to stay up on my feet, to get me to the place where I can do what I'm doing. And nobody may never know anything about their name, but they were crucial to my walk. And you could be crucial to somebody's walk of being an encourager. And in that whole area of Jerusalem, you know what? One man began to sell off his things and give, and it created a spirit of, let's sell off our things and give. Just one man that nobody really knew much about. One man did it. He went to go get Paul, and Paul became the greatest man of the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ. It was just Barnabas did this for Paul. He went to the place Antioch nobody really wanted to go to, and he started something there that became the hub of New Testament Christianity. He went and got a young man that nobody wanted and restored him the ministry, that Mark is what many people think is the one that went on and wrote the gospel according to Mark. You know, just one quiet person within a group that became the encourager, that many things happened, and it would not have happened had it not been for a guy that nobody really knew much about. And you could be that person. You say, but I want to be the one that everybody knows about. You're not going to be the encourager then. You know what I mean? The encourager is not looking for the limelight. The encourager is looking to help others and God get the glory. That's what he's looking for. And we should all have that type of spirit. Let me just give you this last little thing. I don't know if you know much about the Weight Watchers, if you know anything about how that was started. But this lady named Jean, I messed her last name up, says she was 214 pounds. She was a homemaker, and she desperately wanted to lose weight. And so she went to the New York Department of Health, and she was given a diet devised by a man named Dr. Norman Joliffe, I think is how you say his name. 2 months later, discouraged about the 50-plus pounds she still had to go, she invited over 6 overweight friends to her home to share the diet and talk about how to stay on it. Today, 28 years later, maybe even more, I don't know, 1 million members attend 250,000 Weight Watcher meetings in 24 countries every week. When asked how she came up with the idea of being such an encourager, she said, when she was a teenager, she used to cut across a park where she saw mothers gossiping while the toddlers sat in their swings with no one to push them. She said, I'd give them a push. And she said, and then you know what would happen? The kids on the swing that I would push, they soon would begin to pump themselves and start moving their legs with the momentum that I was able to give them. And eventually they went on to swinging on the swings. But all it took was my first initial little push. And she said, and from that, I developed this thought that I could just be somebody that comes along and gives somebody a little push in life, that maybe that's all they need to keep going. See, that's how this whole thing got started. So I wanted to quit with this question. Who are you giving a push to get going in life? Amen. Who are you giving a push to? And that's what I love about Barnabas, is that he was just a person that just gave a little push to being a sacrificial giver. Gave a little push to Paul, to help Paul. Gave a little push in the church at Antioch. Gave a little push to this young man, Mark, and great things happened. You never even saw him. Everybody wants to be on the float. Everybody wants to be on the float waving and everybody clapping for them. But you know what? It'd be a pretty poor parade if there wasn't somebody on the sideline that was doing a little bit of the clapping. You know, and it's no problem for me to be on the sideline and do a little bit of clapping for some other people and be the encourager. It just helps them. And I wish all of us would get that spirit. I wanted you to get the rest of this because we all need every one of these points we need them in our life. We need to be the encourager that God puts you in this church to be that, to be the encourager for somebody else. Let's stand.